During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the seven loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into a boat with his disciple and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisee came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it. Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciple had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisee, that of Herod. They discussed with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. Aware of the discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, seven. He said to them, do you still not understand?
Thanks, everyone. Let's pray. Dear God, thanks for your word and thanks for this passage from Mark's gospel. I pray you give us eyes to see all your words of truth and to speak into our lives now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay, so our boys, Toby and Gabriel, have recently discovered magic eye books. Do you know these? Have you seen these? Where each page has like a really intense, colourful pattern, a bit like that. Hidden within is a 3D image, like a car or a kangaroo or a butterfly or something like that, which you have to try and see inside there. Maybe you've tried looking at these before, and found it too hard. It hurt your eyes a little bit, or you just get frustrated and you can't see the picture inside, you just give up. Close the book, put it away. But if you're like my boys, Toby and Gabriel, and you're patient, and you try squinting your eyes or maybe going cross-eyed, that often helps, eventually you'll see a hidden image appear from within, and it will jump out at you, and you'll get that, ah, yes, I can see it moment, which is a lot of fun. So I recommend these. So sometimes you can see them, sometimes you can't. Well, today, as we look at this passage from Mark's gospel, Mark 8, 1 to 21, we're going to think about who can see and who can't see. So we're going to come across three different groups of people in Mark's gospel here who encounter Jesus face to face. And they've all heard Jesus' amazing teaching. They've witnessed his incredible miracles, but they all respond differently. So we're going to think, as we go through this passage, who's blind and who can see. So first of all, verses 1 to 10, there's the crowd of people who follow Jesus. So verse 1, during those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. You might be thinking, haven't we just read about Jesus feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves and fish. So why is he repeating the same miracle now with a crowd of 4,000 people? Well, one important difference that stands out is that Jesus is now in the region of the Decapolis. So he's on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, on the other side of the River Jordan. So in other words, Jesus is now in Gentile territory. Now, from a Jewish perspective, these people were spiritually blind. These guys cannot see. They live in darkness. They're far from God. And yet we read here, they're so desperate to be with Jesus that they travel a long way to this remote and desolate place. And they're so hungry to hear what Jesus had to say that they forget about their physical hunger. So they're supposed to be blind as Gentile people, but in reality, they could see God's glory in Jesus. And they could see God's power in him, and they fed off his teaching and his miraculous power. But the focus here, however, I think, is on Jesus and on his love and compassion towards them, the outsiders. He says he has compassion for them, and he's worried about them fainting with hunger on their journey home. And so, having given thanks for the 7 loaves and a few small fish, he provides more than enough food for the whole crowd. So verse 8, the people ate and were satisfied. There were 7 basketfuls of leftovers, which is a sign of God's overflowing provision and grace for these people. God's grace isn't just limited to a particular group of people. He wants all nations, all peoples to be blessed. I think sometimes we can easily forget this. Most of us are friends with people just like ourselves. But Sydney is such a multicultural place. You work and you live and you study alongside people from all sorts of different ethnic and religious cultural backgrounds. You've got amazing opportunities for global mission right here on your doorstep. Are your eyes open to the opportunities you have for global mission right here in Sydney? Can you see the possibility of building relationships with people who are very different to you? Maybe with your Greek or Italian neighbors, or your Muslim colleagues at work, or your Islander friends at school or uni. Do you see those opportunities you have to build bridges with them and share the gospel? Do you have the same compassion that Jesus has for the outsiders? Or do you prefer just to stay out of their way? Perhaps at work, you could make that extra effort to get to know someone who's very different from you. Ask them if they'd like to grab a coffee or lunch during a break. Reach out to people in friendship. Or maybe have a neighbor with a particular need which you could help with and show compassion for them. Perhaps a young couple with a newborn baby who need a meal. Or maybe there's an elderly person nearby who's lonely or needs some shopping done. How can we show Jesus' compassion for people who are different to us, maybe from a different background? Whenever we go out of our comfort zones, we're building bridges with people, and we create opportunities not just to share our lives, but to share our faith and the good news of Jesus. If we don't do this, then people otherwise may never get to hear the good news. So, verse 9, after the crowd had eaten as much as they could and gone back home, Jesus and his disciples, they jump in a boat and they sail back across the lake to Dalmanutha, which is back into the Jewish land, Jewish territory here. And so now in verses 11 to 13, we see the second group of people, and they are the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the religious elite. As Jesus gets off the boat, he's immediately confronted by these people. Verse 11, the Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. Now, the Pharisees prided themselves on being the people who could most clearly see God and understand who he is. They had the Old Testament in their hands. They were responsible for teaching the nation of Israel about how to live as God's people. So they were supposed to shed light, but instead they lived in darkness. They were actually spiritually blind. They asked for Jesus. They want to see a sign from heaven. That seems like a reasonable request. They say they want proof from Jesus that he really is from God. But we know that right from the beginning of the gospel, they've refused to believe in Jesus, even when he's done amazing miracles and taught them so powerfully. We know way back from chapter 3, verse 6, that the Pharisees were plotting to kill Jesus. So they're not being genuine here. They've come to try and test Jesus, to trip him up. What they really wanted was a Messiah who would come in power and destroy their enemies. People like the Romans who were occupying their nation. People like those Gentiles over the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They wanted a powerful Messiah to wipe them out and build up their own nation. They didn't want a Messiah who would come and be compassionate to these outsiders. But ironically, when Jesus feeds the crowd of 4,000 people, or 4,000 plus, he's highlighting and demonstrating that he wants to show people outside of Israel his grace and his blessing, not his cursing and judgment. And so this infuriates the Pharisees, and their pride and their arrogance blinds them from truly seeing and believing in Jesus. This time, Jesus does not show compassion. In fact, quite the opposite. You see that in verse 12. Jesus sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. These religious leaders claimed to have 20/20 vision, but Jesus revealed their blindness. Even after his death and resurrection, they refused to accept the most powerful sign that Jesus gave of who he is, of his power as a son of God, which was the empty tomb. Now, as we've mentioned, in Spain, we have got plenty of friends who like to get married in Catholic church. They like to baptize their babies. They like to send their kids to catechism classes. They like to do religious events. But in reality, many are spiritually blind. They can't see that it's all about grace and faith in Jesus. They lack a personal relationship with the Lord. They don't open up their Bibles to hear from God. They don't talk to him in prayer. And it's a very dangerous thing to think you're in a relationship with God when in reality you aren't. And so Jesus warns his disciples about this in verse 15. He says, "Be careful, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." Now, to us, freshly baked bread smells delicious. But back then, a first century Jewish person had to make their own homemade bread, which was potentially risky. They'd use a piece of a bit of dough from the previous week and then mix it in with a new batch of dough to make the next week's bread. But if the old yeast was contaminated, it would spread poison throughout all the new dough, and this new bread would be spoilt and make people sick. And in a similar way, we need to watch out for religious pride and arrogance, which can slowly infect us. Once we take our eyes off Jesus and the cross of Christ, then we can start putting confidence in ourselves. And then we allow sin to contaminate us and spoil us. And sadly, we've seen this too many times with quite a few internationally well-known evangelical pastors who've drawn big crowds of people, written lots of books, but they've fallen into immorality and dishonored the gospel. And we all need to be careful of not just putting on a public Christian face while inwardly we're living in sin. So take some time today, think about where are your blind spots in your life. Think about them and confess them to God. Bring them before him. Well, lastly, in verses 14 to 21, we see the third group of people, and these are Jesus' very own disciples. So these 12 men, they'd seen Jesus miraculously feed thousands of people, not just once, but twice. They just gathered up all these basketfuls of leftover food. And so you'd expect these guys to have a really crystal clear vision of Jesus and of his power. But instead of confidently trusting in him to provide for all their needs, we discover that they're worried because, verse 14, they'd forgotten to bring bread. It's ridiculous in one way, this next passage. They fail to see that right there in front of them is the bread of life himself. And so Jesus says, verse 17, he asks them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. When I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? At this point, the disciples are being very dim-sighted. They can see that Jesus is special, but their vision is blurry. And you'll come across more of this next week in the next passage. And in fact, they're dangerously close to becoming like the Pharisees, being blind like them. And that's why Jesus is warning them here. Mundane concerns about physical needs are distracting them, and it's taking their eyes away from the Lord. And our faith too can easily come under attack when we worry about small, petty things. When we focus our energy on what we don't have, we stop looking up to Jesus and seeing what he's already done for us and what he's doing for us now, and how he continues to supply all of our needs. We doubt God's power to provide for us, and so we're tempted to look to other sources for help, which makes us selfish, competitive. It undermines our love for other people and distracts us from obeying God's will. So one packet of toilet rolls is not enough. We need 3 months' supply. Or when we feel unwell, we grab medicine, or we call the doctor, we go to hospital before we pray to God and ask for healing, or ask other people to pray for us. Or if we're unemployed, we update our CVs, we send out as many applications as we can, but we forget to first seek God's direction for our lives. It's so easy to moan and complain about what we don't have, but let's be people who start the day with gratitude in our hearts. Let's be thankful to God for being our Heavenly Father who loves us. Let's be thankful to Jesus who died and rose again to save us. Let's be thankful for the Holy Spirit who lives in us, provides for all that we need and empowers us to live as followers of Jesus in this world. And just as Jesus was patient with his disciples, so too he's patient with us. When Jesus said to his disciples, do you still not understand? There's a hint there that one day they will. One day they will get it. So what's important is that we don't give up. We keep asking the Lord to open our eyes so we can see him more and more clearly. So I encourage you, as you read through Mark's gospel, really try to imagine almost that you're there with Jesus and the disciples. Use your senses to think, what would it be like to, what would you see, what would you hear, what could you smell even as you read through this gospel? Really put yourself in there so you can see Jesus more clearly and sharply. And as I finish, I'd like you to reflect upon who you most identify with in this passage. Who do you most closely relate to? Are you like someone in the Gentile crowd? You feel like an outsider on the fringes of church, maybe, but you're hungry to know Jesus more. Well, be encouraged, because Jesus has compassion towards you. He loves you and he wants you to know him, and he cares about your needs. Perhaps you identify with the Pharisees. Some of us who've been Christians a long time, or who are leaders within the church, we might recognize sometimes our pride or our lack of compassion for unbelievers. We need to watch out, Jesus says, and repent. Or do you see yourselves as one of the disciples, the dim-sighted disciples? You want to follow Jesus, but you get distracted by the things of this world and worries that we have. Or pray to God that he would give you a clearer vision of himself and a confident trust that Jesus will provide for all of your needs. And as I finish, I just want to share that often people ask us where we're staying right now in Spain, and we're very happy to live with Karen's mum, who's here today, in a retirement village up in Belrose. And it's a beautiful place, very comfortable. But one thing that Karen and I have noticed there is that there are lots of street lamps around the place, and it's very bright at nighttime. I guess people are probably worried about falling over or tripping up at nighttime, or for security, I guess. But the other day, when after Karen and I put the boys to bed, we thought, oh, we'll just take a walk, get some fresh air. But as we walk outside, I thought, I almost have to shield our eyes from the light because it's so bright, all these lights coming down on us. We almost have to look away or look down. But then as we crossed the main road out to another area, and we walked to a place which was near a reserve and some bush, no street lamps. Suddenly we could look up and you see, oh, there's the night sky up there, a beautiful, clear night. And we could see hundreds and hundreds of twinkling stars up in the sky. It was a beautiful and spectacular evening. And it made me feel very small in a good way. And I think moments like that help us to put away our worries and anxieties. And I could feel a sense of peace that night because although I'm small, I know God, our creator, he's made all this. He's in control. We can trust him for everything. And so sometimes we need to get away from the bright lights of this world, all the distractions of life, and just look up and be in awe of our creator and our God, our Lord and our savior. He's done everything to save us and continues to provide for all our needs. Let's pray as we finish. Our Lord God, I want to give you thanks for this passage. Thank you that you're our creator, our savior. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for us, to save us. Thank you that you provide for all our needs and you have compassion for us. I pray, Lord, help us to keep following you, Jesus, to have clear vision. Help us not to get distracted by the things of this world, but to keep faithfully following you and reaching out to those who are lost with the good news of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are always with us by Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.